Hello, dear student. Good day to you. I'm once again Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah with you. And we are today going to talk about tourism transport services, the role of transport services in tourism. So, what is the learning objective of this whole chapter? Know about the different modes of transport used in tourism. How do the travelers go from one place of their residency to another place and how they move around? So this is, we will learn about different modes of transport. What is a transport system? It's an integral part of travel and tourism industry. We have known that without a good transport system available, the tourism industry cannot grow. And to successfully promote tourism industry, you need to have an excellent connectivity of transport system. The connectivity, the accessibility, and the availability of transport system is prime for tourism industry to grow. It can there be without taking into account tourism, but tourism cannot flourish without a good transportation system. There are many such places in the world under developed countries or including developed countries, but they don't have proper transport system. And for this, we need to have a great understanding of transportation system. Growth in tourism happened due to the advance in transportation technology worldwide. You can see the tourism industry flourishing. Before Second World War, when the entire world was fighting with one another, and after the Second World War ended, the tourism industry saw the growth because transportation industry, that includes aviation, was put on a top priority. Various aircrafts were built that were, in those days, wide-body aircraft could carry number of passengers. Likewise, railway network, likewise, good road, good public transport system, all these transport supported the growth of tourism industry. In old time, people were traditionally using the old mode of transport, riding on a camel's back, sitting on a horse's back, or using dhows or boats made of wooden plank. That was just exploring. And came the growth of transport industry that obviously supported the growth of tourism industry. People started moving from one part of the world to another part in the initial stages with steamships and the sailboats, and later on started emerging into right now what we are talking of, the wide body aircraft like Airbus 380 and Boeing 787. So transportation is an integral part of travel and tourism industry. Otherwise you can just dream about a destination, but the transportation system helps you to see the world. There is a significant but subtle aspect behind this growing trend of tourist flow, and that is transportation. So without transportation, we cannot think of tourism industry growing so well. More connectivities are coming in. More places of tourist interest are added up, combined together to see from one part of the world to the another part of the world, and people use transport system. Growth of transportation and its different modes and its availability and accessibility has made travel more convenient nowadays. So we can think of travel these days as smooth as you can think of any utilization of any transport system. Connectivity, the number of flights being operated, For example, from Mumbai to Dubai, there were 4 Emirates airline flights, 3 Air India flights, including Air India Express. Then you had Vistara, you had Indigo, you have got many other airlines, Air Arabia going. So number of transport or mode of transport available resulted into a good flow of tourists from India to Dubai and vice versa. So we look at these various transport system and the number of tourists that arrive in India, foreign tourist arrival, known as FTAs in India. Number of Indian, 13 million in 2000. Number of international tourist arrival, 956 million. In 2000, it jumped to 1460 million or 1 billion 460 million. Growth between 2010 and 2019, 1.5 time increase happened just because of the wonderful transport system. Likewise, India, which had 5.78 million tourists in 2010, registered in 2019 almost 11 million tourists. That means approximately 1.9 times the number increased, all thanks to the transport system. Number of nationals abroad visit that used to be just 13 million rose to 26.92, which is almost 27 million, resulting into 2 times growth as what we were in 2010. And the domestic, which was 747 million, jumped to 2,321 million. So 3 times growth, remarkable growth, all because of various motivational factors supporting them with a wonderful transport system. More number of trains, more number of buses, good roads, flights, number of flights increased. Flight reachable to a common man, as the Prime Minister said. Hawaii chappal pehenne walon ko bhi hum hawaii safar karayenge. All that factors motivated people because of the good transport system that was available. So now we look at the type of transport. We have to understand the type of transport, the private transport owned by individuals. With the development of the automotive industry worldwide, personal transport, which means cars, have become an easy and convenient way of moving from one place to another. Primarily used for domestic travel, short duration trips, holiday visits, and recreational activities. A basic use we all know of the car is for private use from one place to another. Later on, it is enormous competitive advantage over public transport due to its flexibility. Public transport is okay, economical, but the flexibility is not much on public transport. You cannot stop where you like. You cannot ask also the departure and timings according to your wish. So it has an advantage over public transport. And in private transport, with more construction of vehicles and now emergence of electric cars, the private sector ownership, private ownership of car is increasing because dependent on the fuel is getting lesser with the arrival of car run by electric. Now here on these buses and coaches, a faster mode of transport, safer, and in a way, luxurious vehicles also are there. in the form of buses and coaches. Bus service have been increasingly used by passengers for interior and remote areas. From Indian perspective, internationally, there are many countries who offer buses and coaches to even cross-border or international travel as well. For example, traveling within Europe, there are conducted tours operated in Europe by buses. Greyhound tour buses, which is used and very famous in US, are used for going from one state to another state. Very famous. From India also, we have got a lot of conducted tours that are offered starting from Europe and within Europe by private buses or buses operated by tour operators. So they play a significant role in providing low-cost, affordable travel for package tour, market and holiday segments such as schools and the senior citizen over the age of 70 years. They use this because when you sit in a vehicle, you are so comfortable. They have washroom facilities, and with the Schengen visa availability, a lot of Indians have been traveling on coach tours within Europe, also seeing other countries which are interconnected. As you saw, the number of tourists arriving in Europe are higher because of that connectivity and borders with one another. So bus and coach travel is very famous in Europe to see, especially the areas in the months of summer when the entire Europe blossoms with flowers and landscape beauty, the scenery, the nature is just excellent. Buses can provide support service such as couriers and social ambience that a specific niche market value. So in using bus as a mode of transport, you have a social ambience as well. You look at different social environment, including the natural beauty of a particular place. Buses also link places that may not have railway network. Now, buses reach to places where railway network is not so easy to construct because it's a huge infrastructure investment to set up a railway line. Lot of northeastern states do not have railway connectivity. And those areas are well connected with buses and coaches. If you go down anywhere in northeastern states, be it is Tripura, Mizoram, Meghalaya, Manipur, or Nagaland, or Arunachal Pradesh, all the Sikkim, all included, they have well connectivity with the buses and coaches because these are hilly regions, and to construct railways needs a huge infrastructure investment. So buses and coaches are very popular. Another area that I would like to highlight here, which is not very common in India, is called recreational van, RV. Recreational van, which are very popular in Northern Europe, Canada, and Australia. Lot of FIT, which means individual travelers, use this mode of transport in traveling within a particular country, like in Australia, which is such a wide country, and they go from east coast of Australia to west coast of Australia using this recreational van, which resembles like a vanity van, which we might have seen in India. And they hire and they see this entire Australia, or say Northern Europe, for example, Norway, Sweden, because there is not much of a traffic, and the countryside is so beautiful that where the other infrastructure like railway network and buses don't reach into remote corners, so they use this recreational van. They are not very popular in India, only few celebrities you would find having it, some corporate groups may possibly have it, but not as a known mode of transport to see the places, simply because We have various other related issues like traffic jam, road infrastructure, and these vehicles need a special handling. We come to the other mode of transport, and the type of transport is railways. India happens to have the largest railway network in the world. We have huge number of railway lines from Indian perspective. Likewise, internationally also, railway is an excellent mode of transport. In Europe, there is a special pass available known as a U-Rail for any tourist that visit Europe. It's known as U-Rail Pass, wherein 32 different railway networks are available into buying that package known as U-Rail Passes, which is different type of pricing, different number of days, starting for different age groups, senior citizen, family packages. That's the best way of seeing Europe, especially in summer. It's a mode of transport that is, in compared to India, expensive. Railway is an expensive mode of transport. Certain rail network in Switzerland have higher cost than by flying. The famous rail network connecting UK to France is an excellent underwater civil engineering work done to connect UK to France and further extend it to Belgium. That's an excellent railway network where they have utilized different pricing strategy. High fare for peak hours, lower fare for non-peak hours on that railway network, and so on, which slowly in some way is coming in our pricing factors also. Tatkal is an example of that, where certain seats are only sold on the day when Tatkal opens up. So railways mostly operates on intercity routes and provide competition to air travel and roadways. In India, it's popular. It's considered as the lower mode of transport in comparison to the flight. Of course, buses also are expensive in comparison to railway, because still most railways are owned, rather all railways are owned by government, though certain services are handed over to private operators. And slowly, that's the target, where more private sector operators will be brought in, though the railway network is still the ownership of our country, India. So railway network is very popular worldwide, especially, as I said, in Europe. Then there are luxury trains, which are not mode of transport, but people do travel on those luxury trains for an exclusive holiday as a mode of transport for seeing places like Palace on Wheel that runs from Delhi, Jaipur, Agra, whole belt, which is called Triangle, and they go in peak season. We have Deccan Odyssey in Maharashtra. And likewise, there are some more trains in Karnataka also, which are luxury trains. There are luxury trains all over the world. Their pricing is higher than even aircraft. In Europe, most railway network comparatively with low-cost carriers, those railway networks are expensive, especially Switzerland trains that connects and takes you into the high Alps altitude, where you can go and see the top of the mountain, the Europe's height. Tibet, for example, I'll give you an example of railway that has been built all the way from the capital of Shanghai to Tibet. Connectivity by rail network by China, and that's the highest railway network built by China that connects Shanghai to Tibet to provide connectivity. So railways is a mode of transport. Marketing has become more sophisticated worldwide. I was giving example of pricing that has been set up. I give example from P cars on the underground railway network of London. If you use P cars, the same ticket would cost you 1.5 times more to come from London Heathrow Airport to downtown into St. James Park or King Cross or Piccadilly Circus. After P car, when offices open up, then after 9:30 or 10 o'clock, the fares are lower on the underground network for a single day ticket. So train serves all purpose travel. Holidays are now only on a small part, and the mix of business related revenue in our part of the world. In India, for example, railway also serves as a cargo goods postal services as a vital segment, always been as government owned. Rail service marketing is becoming more sophisticated. So more and more targets are put. Many trains have been started which are faster and super fast, doesn't stop. Rajdhani is an example that goes from Mumbai Central to Delhi. That's a wonderful train network that they have. And likewise, internationally also, railway network crossing, going from France to Italy or from Switzerland crossing to France or Italy. All those, Glacier Express is the most famous train of Switzerland. So railway network, excellent mode of transport. But student, please remember that cost of railway is in India comparatively cheaper in comparison to even luxury buses and also flights. Whereas in Europe, you pay more price instead of going by flight. People prefer to go by train. Why? Because they see the luxury into it and the scenery around, especially the glass window of those rail network. So that is supporting as a good mode of transport for the growth of tourism. Then we come to the comparatively younger mode of transport, which is air transport as a commercial operation. Long distance scheduled airlines operate strongly branded scheduled services around the world. And we know for sure that now there are certain flights which go non-stop, air flights I'm talking about, non-stop for as much as 15 hours, crossing Pacific or crossing Atlantic Ocean non-stop with 14 hours, 15 hours flights. Singapore to New York over Atlantic, Singapore to Los Angeles over Pacific. All these are long haul routes. Before 60s, middle 60s, there were no flights non-stop from London to New York. People were crossing Atlantic by using ship, and where the cruise industry boomed. But with the arrival of wide body aircraft with more fuselage, more storage of fuel into those aircraft, flights started long haul. That's called long haul flight. Non-stop flight accounting for almost 15 hours non-stop flight. This is an addition. In 60s and late 50s, Mumbai to London flight would take possible 3 stops to refuel time and again, because their capacity didn't have so much of fuel to fly even 6 to 7 hours Mumbai to London non-stop. Those were the days. So long distance now is the best mode of transport. The advantage of air as a mode of transport over any other mode of transport is the air transport flies over all the natural hindrances. It flies over mountains, rivers, sea, bridges, anything. Whereas the road will be haphazard, going according to the road, according to the natural environment and the ambience and the terrain path. So mode of transport, air transport, scores on all. It's faster. Long distance flights that used to take months to cross Pacific Ocean, say from Singapore going on to Los Angeles, it used to take 1.5, 2 months. Now it is 15 hours. So long distance, medium and short distance operate on popular routes. 2 hours, 5 hours, London, Mumbai, London, 5 hours, 6 hours. Popular routes all operated by aircraft. Charter airlines operate short and medium route for holiday tourists. Those who go for tourist destination, European coming into Maldives, not European, coming in from Norway, Sweden, Stockholm, or Copenhagen, the most cold part of Europe. They come down to the Mediterranean as a charter flight, which means no schedule, booked by a tour operator, a specific particular airline, operating from, say, Copenhagen to Lisbon, or to Madrid, or Costa del Sol, Malaga Airport. All these are charter flights. Many other tourist attractions in Canary Island, for example, or the beaches in Greece, Corfu, which is a Greece famous, or Larnaca in, these are all famous European short-haul destination operated by charter aircraft, and so on and so forth. So use mode of transport it is, and then came the low cost year. After number of years, when commercial airline, full service airline were operated, there was great need and demand and a cry from the consumer, the passenger, the traveler, that we want an airline to take us from point A to B on a scheduled flight, but we are not ready to pay extra money. And that was the birth of low-cost carrier. Initially, America called it, with their own terminology, no-frill airline. As you know, frill means the decoration that we put up on our clothes, on any decoration. So they considered meal service, entertainment, blanket, food, all this as part of not required for an end user. They said, we don't want all this, give us a benefit in the fare. So they operated no-frill, low-cost airline, where they took on a scheduled departure from point A to point B on a recognized well aircraft and reach on time. They said, we are boarding at 2 o'clock. We have already taken our lunch at home. We don't want to listen to music. I have my own music player. I have taken my piece of blanket in case if I feel cold. I'll put it on my body or I'll wear my jacket. I don't want blanket. I don't want anything. I have only 10 kilos of luggage. I don't want to pay extra luggage. These were considered as low frill and resulted into great arrival of low-cost carrier, which was the ultimate need of the time. And now you have got good number of low-cost carriers around. Even the one thing that came up, which many airlines were looking at adding up to their cost for operation, is putting up the crew for long flight at a particular hotel after flying 6 to 7 hours non-stop with the crew. The passenger would disembark and go their places where they have to go. But the crew, according to IATA regulation, to bring in quality out of them and their fatigue, they should be given an accommodation overnight and put them on service again next day possibly. So this would added up to the cost, the meal. Airline to pick up meal from the international caterers. Services available that cost money. So all these cots, which were known as bundled pricing for not low-cost carrier, were added up to the cost of the airline that were removed, and low-cost carrier became popular with traveler. I would carry my own meal, pack it up and take, or I don't want at all any meal. I'm boarding the aircraft at 10 o'clock in the night. I've already taken my dinner. I don't want any meal. And so on and so forth, brought the budget airlines. Air India, the full service airline, came up to meet this demand for Indian market with Air India Express. And so many such airlines keep continuously emerging. Of course, this whole idea of low-cost carrier came from US. And then, of course, sea transport or water transport. Ferries are widely used in developed countries in the form of cruise ships. You know that cruise ship is one way of not only mode of transport, but also seeing many places, cities, and destination in one single go. That is why cruise ship were termed also as floating hotel. So it's a brand-oriented industry, huge. Billions of dollars have been invested in cruise industry, which came to, of course, stand still because of the COVID. But with the confidence coming back with the cruise industry, many have again been looking at cruise to once again begin, and people start sailing. Alaska itineraries, for example, have been successfully conducted, and more will emerge soon because there is a huge investment. There are more than 3,000 ships around the world sailing by different brand, from Royal Caribbean to Celebrity Cruise to Norwegian Cruise to Holland America to Carnival Cruise. And very recently I read the brand of Disney, which is a family cruise line that offers some of their Disney character performing on the ship, will be starting soon. So all these are cruise ships. Generally, the cruise capital in the world is known for Miami, which is in the southern state of Florida. Cruise ship is a brand-oriented industry, and branded ships are acting as floating resorts or hotel, as I said. Mostly popular cruise destinations are located in US, Mediterranean Europe, or even North Sea Europe. For example, in the North Sea, there are cruise ships sailing out of Norway or Sweden, going into the deep sea, some touching all the way up to Arctic Ocean, which means going very close to the North Pole. And of course, Europe, Caribbean, some are there into Far East also. Like, for example, the Princess Cruise, they operate out of Singapore. Sea transport is not commonly used in India. There is a lot of potential. India is having 7,500 kilometers of coastline. It's an untapped industry that our country has to really look forward. We started with a cruise, and you know the recent event that is happening. That's a different topic. I'm not adding it up here. But cruise industry, there was a cruise company that came in before COVID, operated two or three cruise, and then came the COVID and they had to go back. Jalesh Cruise or something was the name. They brought in some celebrity as their brand ambassador. So untapped market, some coast-to-coast cruises are happening, like from Mumbai to Goa, Mumbai, Alibaug. They are very much not that quality of ship that we see. There are some cruise ships operating even on the coast of Odisha that I read. And of course, as a mode of transport, lot of cruise liners on a half day or 2 hours, 3 hours ship cruise happens on the river of Brahmaputra. In Assam, Guwahati, you find a cruise. There are too much junk ships that are being used. if you look at the standard which I mentioned about Royal Caribbean, Holland America, or Carnival cruises, they are really luxury cruises. That's a mode of transport again. So a transport system, the track, the vehicle, and the terminal. Tracks, controlled airways, seaways, canals, inland waterways, permanent waterways, railways, roadways, etc. These are the transport system that we have taken up. There are a lot of canals and river cruising and mode of transport in Europe, Danube River, Seine River, to mention few. The river in Russia, Volga River. All these are the famous rivers where mode of transport, Geneva Lake, for example, is also another mode of transport within Switzerland to move as a cruise or a ship mode of transport in canal. Amsterdam, the city of canal, uses lot of transport. Barges in Thailand. Of course, the barges are used for movement of rice and wood, but there are certain passengers who move with that. Overcapacity in those ferries have resulted into sinking of those boats, because the capacity is 200 passengers and the operators fill this up with 700 to 800 people, and ultimately out of so many operations, one finally sinks, and we hear such stories keep coming from time to time. So vehicles, aircraft, ship, train, buses and coaches, private vehicles, and other customized transport, all are the transport system. Airports, seaports, railway, bus stations, and offices, they are used as terminals. Various advantages and disadvantages. For example, railway stations are within the town, whereas the airports are all the way away from the town. It is so happened that Mumbai's airport now is almost in the town, but when it was built earlier in the British era, Santa Cruz was far away from town. The town limits were only up to Mahim in 60s and 50s. And before that, it was only up to Dadar. Just as a reminder, I'm saying. That's why railway stations are within the town. CST, Lokmanya Tilak Terminus, all these are within the town itself. And likewise, any metro, any railway station, be it is London, King Cross Railway Station, or you talk of Paris North, which is mode of transport available to any part in France, or from King Cross you can take Brit Rail and go anywhere. So these are always in town. And as compared to the airports, which are 40, 50 kilometers away. Now once the Kharghar airport comes into operation, it will be very much away from the main city. Of course, closer to Navi Mumbai, but for downtown South Mumbai, it will be very much far away. So these are various terminals, vehicles that we have spoken about into different things. And of course, tracks, the controlled airways, like corridor used for the aircraft landing and takeoff, the different type of corridors available. Mumbai, for example, is the only airport in the world before 2019 that has every 80 second one flight was landing or taking off. In a day, there were almost 1,000 flights that were taking off and landing. One of the most busiest single corridor airport of the world. That is a track that what I'm talking about. Thank you very much.